Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Are you ready? It's Saturday morning at Yahoo Sports Radio. Welcome to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, featuring Bill Harmon and powered by Insperity. Insperity, inspiring small business performance. The golf doctor, Charlie Epps, is in. The man who coaches PGA stud, Angel Cabrera. Follow the golf doctor on Twitter, @thegolf_doctor. Doctor, the golf doctor is in on Yahoo Sports Radio right now. With Charlie Epps, here's your host from the Quicken Loans studios of Yahoo Sports Radio. It's our very own scratch golfer, sort of.
Hey, I should have stayed home and played with myself.
John Granato.
Good morning, America. This is Charlie Epps live from Houston, Texas, the Yahoo Sports Radio Network on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, which is brought to you by Insperity, a company that will inspire small business performance. And if you have a small business and you want some help and in every aspect, just log on to Insperity.com or call 800-465-3800. This morning we are with Bill Harmon, who is in California, where he lives and works, and has a beautiful golf course called Toscano and a teaching center. Today we're going to talk about Bay Hill, we're going to talk about the World Golf Championship, and we're going to talk a lot about instruction and Billy's philosophy on practice. Got some questions for him. So right now I'm going to ask Bill to come in. And Bill, what do you think of Jason Day's victory in Bay Hill?
Well, I kind of like the way he did it. You know, he had the lead, and we were all talking about how when he kind of gets his nose in front, he's kind of unbeatable. And then he lost the lead, and then he came back and made a tremendous birdie on 17. I don't think TV does that hole very much justice as to how difficult it is. So after making a very poor par on the 16th hole, I think with a 7-iron to the green on a par 5, he came right back and hit a marvelous shot on 17 and then a world-class bunker shot on 18. So the way he played 17 and 18, I think, tells you about how confident he is when he's in the hunt these days. And it, I don't know, it just kind of showed me that he's ready to take the next step, I would say. I think he really is the one guy that appears ready to take over number one.
Four out of the last five winners on the PGA Tour have won the Masters. Adam Scott, he's won two events. Charles Schwartzel, Bubba Watson. Does this put Jason Day in line to win his first Masters?
Well, you know, he's played very well at Augusta and likes the course. He told me a couple of years ago, I asked him, why do you play so well there? And he figured out something that a lot of people don't figure out. He says, I don't play Augusta with a hook. I play it with a fade because all the trouble is on the left. And my dad had told me that years ago, that Augusta was kind of a sucker course for hookers because almost all the dead spots and the areas that you're dead on at Augusta are to the left. So interesting, you know, he has enough distance, Charlie, as you know, to hit three woods if he wants off certain tees. But he seems to have a game plan at Augusta, and he's competed there very admirably over the years. So I would certainly say he has to be one of the favorites for sure.
It's interesting, Angel Cabrera likes to hit the ball to the right, fade it, and he won the Masters.
And yeah, and lost in a playoff, and he's had two or three other chances to win.
That's so, exactly right.
Jimmy Demerit faded the ball, and he won there three times. Jack Nicklaus faded the ball. He won there six times. So can you obviously win the tournament hitting draws? Of course you can. But to say unequivocally that it's a hooker's golf course, there'd be some people that might dispute that.
You know, I really think, and we'll talk about this a little later, it's a great iron course. You've got to be able to really hit your irons correctly to the right distance. But having said that, this week it's an interesting format. The World Golf Championship match play being contested at a golf club that is really unique in a sense. It's a very difficult golf course, I think. I've played it in I've just gone brain. Pete Dye golf course. Very tricky. But we're into the Sweet 16. So far, so good. The top three players in the world, 1, 2, and 3, Jordan Spieth, Jason Day, and Rory have made it into the final 16. Give me your overview of what this tournament's all about.
Well, I like the fact that they've changed the format. I happen to love match play, but I also understand the problems of, you know, the better players get knocked out early, Charlie, and then the public interest in the event kind of wanes. So I think they've done everything they could to, you know, to keep the guys around. So they're all going to play three matches. Now, a few matches yesterday had no value, no interest. But having said that, the match play format really is not made for TV because you just don't have any guarantee that who's going to be there at the end. So I think it's created a lot of intrigue. You know, we've got some pretty good matches today scheduled. We've got McIlroy going against Zach Johnson, who's been killing it. You've got Jordan Spieth and Oosthuizen. That's a terrific match. Dustin Johnson and Patrick Reed, great match. Jason Day, Snedeker. So we've got some great matchups, Kuchar and Koepka. So I think the format is probably... I think they figured it out. You know, there's a couple problems with when they have to play off to see who goes to the knockout rounds. So I guess some guys had to wait a couple hours, but there's no perfect way to do match play. And I think that this has been a very, very good and healthy change for the event.
And it's also proven with all the players in the Sweet 16, there's some long hitters such as Dustin Johnson and Jason Day, but then Zach Johnson is right there. Ryan Moore, he doesn't overpower the golf course. And then there's, it's an array of different players, and Matt Kuchar's another one that doesn't dominate a golf course with his distance.
It's funny you say that because Jay Haas told me yesterday that Bill Haas averages 287 off the tee, and he's 146th in driving distance on the tour. So Bill Haas is now considered a short hitter in the major leagues, and that's really something because, Charlie, you've been around him, and that wouldn't be what you would say that he's a short hitter. He's definitely not super long, but you never, ever look at Bill and say, boy, that guy's a short hitter, you know.
Well, I would say Bill is one of those sneaky long players. He's long when he really wants to get on it. I think he plays.
Yeah, he's a position player. He's not somebody who just wails on it every time. I think the influence of his father, you know, going to point A and point B and not making dumb mistakes, I think his Bill plays a little bit that way. And at times, I think a little bit that way to a fault. I've always thought Bill was a good enough player to maybe be a tad more aggressive.
The other thing we're going to talk about, Bill, this morning, we're going to talk about the Shell Houston Open. That's coming up here in Houston. It's wonderful. I've been on the golf course all week long with Uncle practicing. It's in great shape. It mirrors Augusta in some ways, the way they maintain it. The LPGA, they're playing their classic in San Diego, right? The Kia Classic. We can talk about that. But you know, once again, we're going to talk about later in the program about how to improve, how, you know, people have to be realistic. And right now, spring has sprung. Everybody's getting juiced. You got to have a plan going to the practice tee. And I've got your little notebook in front of me, your practice thoughts. And, you know, the first one comes to mind right there is progress comes through practice.
Yeah, I think that perfection thing is not perfect practice makes perfect. I don't know about that. Golf is a game that you can't perfect. But I think too many people go out and they just beat balls and they're not really working on anything. I know in the last 3 or 4 months I've worked, I've made a couple major swing changes. And I've had more fun practicing it because I've got something new to work on and I'm getting results from it. And so now when I go practice, I have very, very specific things that I'm working on. And it's more stimulating that way than just kind of getting up and aiming at nothing and hope you hit it every time.
You have a nice new practice studio with all the information that I know you're
yes,
getting into with the numbers, which really help. They help. I mean, that's a knowledge. That's part of the game that the teachers have today. Sometimes they confuse the hell out of me with their philosophies about the golf swing. But that's Bill Harmon. I'm Charlie Epps. We're live from Yahoo Sports Radio Network in Houston, Texas, brought to you by Insperity, a company that will inspire you to really grow your business. And we're talking golf, and we're going to be right back. We're here with David, and hey, I'm right on the spot, Dave.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, featuring Bill Harmon on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com. Powered by Insperity. Insperity, inspiring small business performance. Once again with the Golf Doctor, here's your host, John Granato.
Welcome back, everybody. John is taking a weekend off with his pretty wife, Wendy, and I'm in studio, and we have Bill Harmon on the line out in California, and we've been talking golf. Golf is all about competition and how do you compete and so on and so forth. And in the last segment, we're going to talk about competing and practice to compete. So, but Bill, the LPGA Tour is in California in Carlsbad, the Kia Classic. NB Park is back on top. She took a week off, and she's a wonderful golfer. I love watching her swing the golf club because it's a definition of, you know, not much power, but she really has an efficient golf swing. But with NB Park, and then first time this year that I've seen Michelle Wee's name appear on the leaderboard. So between MB Park, there's Brittany Lang, Aya Miyazato. The ladies keep playing well.
Well, Michelle Wee made the cut. She tied for 67th, so I guess that's on the leaderboard for her. First cut she's made all year, I believe, in a full field event. Interesting, you know, the ladies' tour, you know, NB Park and Lydia Ko are not long hitters, per se. And so their tour is more dominated by precision. The men's tour is dominated a little bit more by power, I think. And I think one of the interesting things about what's going on in the men's tour right now, I say there's a top five of Bubba and Adam and Jordan and Jason and who the heck is else in there? But they, none of them are in, Rory, excuse me, none of them are intimidated by each other. And so I think we have five really, really unbelievably gifted players. And really there's not a lot of intimidation factor, I think, amongst them. So when they do get going against each other, you know, they all seem to play pretty well. So I think the game is in wonderful hands. As is the ladies' tour. I heard from a very reputable source, so I can't disclose who it was, is that NB Park is going to retire after the 2017 season. How about that?
Well, you know, the ladies...
She's had enough of golf and that she wants to get on with the rest of her life. How's that sound?
Well, that's, you know, more power to her. Sometimes you got to know when to quit, you know. That is for sure. And
you know, the women are such a disadvantage in the sense that if they want to have a family, Charlie,
right,
you know, it takes them out for a good year, and then it's very difficult to play professional golf and be a mother at the same time. And so I think it's a lot of times we don't take into consideration how hard it is for the LPGA players who actually have children, what a huge responsibility that is, and how difficult it is for them to play the tour and be a mother at the same time. So if NB Park does want to have a family and she wants to get on with her life, more power to her. Look at Annika. You know, she quit when she was on top.
Right.
Irina Ochoa quit when she was on top. So we've got a history of the very, very, very best female players on the planet, you know, retiring at a pretty young age to start another chapter in their life, which is motherhood.
Sherry Pock,
more power to them.
Sherry Pock, the young lady that really started the Korean movement into LPGA dominance, announced her retirement. And, you know, she's held on a lot longer than maybe she should have because of injuries and stuff like that. But you've got to be able to back away from a sport like this and go about your business. How about the baseball player who's making $13 million a year because he wouldn't let his son go into the locker room? He just went and retired because he wants to spend time.
Yeah, I don't know. That one I think is odd. I don't think that the kid should be in the locker room. And, you know, what if everybody brought their kid in the locker room?
Oh, I agree with you, honey.
I always do one of these things. I ask myself, what if everybody did this?
Yeah.
What would it be like? So I don't know. I think it's great if he wants to retire and he wants to make that statement, that's fine. But I'm not siding against the Chicago White Sox on this deal myself.
Oh, I would agree with you 100%. There's my 100% for the
that's all right.
for the
that's
show. Right. But the guy did it, you know. And
well, good for him. And he can get on with his life and he can bring his son wherever he wants to bring him.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I've gone.
I think it's kind of a weird message to send his kid to. To be honest with you,
I've gone to two Little League games this year, this week with my grandkids, and it's so much fun. My 10-year-old grandson has really made. They make progress every day. The whole team to watch them and improve and get their instincts. And then my second grandson Ben, he's 6 years old, and he started his first game, and it was amazing to see his instincts, you know, and that he's learned from watching his older brother. And a lot of times in golf, people have to watch other people play the game and get more of a visual idea of what they should do with the golf club. I really think that's
years ago, that's how players learned how to play golf. They imitated.
Yeah.
You know, you talked at the close of the last session about all the numbers and things like that.
Yeah.
And Jay Haas said all that stuff is great, but if you're a professional golfer and you can't make a five-footer, it won't make any difference.
Bob,
which is kind of true.
Bob Golby has a few choice words on that, too, on a Friday afternoon trying to make the cut. You got to be able to make that five-footer.
Having said all that, I have great respect and appreciation for the people that are studying these things and trying to figured out, you know, there's a good piece in Golf Digest. There's two guys, Mike Jacobs and Brian Manzella, who have studied the golf swing, you know, in all kinds of different ways scientifically, and I'm friends with them on Facebook, and I don't understand anything they say, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I appreciate their passion, but Mike Jacobs has a two-page or three-page article in Golf Digest this month where he explains his you know, his research and his teachings relative to us helping the person in front of us, and it's some very good stuff. So I think if you can take the information and translate it to help the very person standing in front of you, which could be a beginner or a tour player, and you can translate your knowledge and your teaching to help that person, then you really got a teacher.
You know, ever since I met Gary Wyron, when he says, if you dare to teach, you better not stop learning. And with these new apparatuses coming on online with, you know, the TrackMan, and they're teaching me an old dog new tricks and understanding a little more about how to get people to do certain things. And at the age of 71, I'm more excited about teaching than I ever have. So we're going to hang in there, because I always thought that the people that couldn't play were the teachers. You know, there's a lot of very good teachers out there today giving out
good
information.
I knew a lot of good teachers that can't play.
Yeah.
Let's call it the way it is, you know.
Billy, you're a piece of work, you know?
Well, I just tell it the way it is. There's some guys that can't break 80, and they're telling certain guys what to think about when they're in contention, which is kind of odd since they've never been in contention.
That's exactly right. So,
but, well, you know, Bill, if you had my father and my upbringing, you'd probably think the way I think.
Well, I had it from a fringe, but I had a lot of harmonisms in me, so... We're going to break right now. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour brought to you by Insperity on Yahoo Sports Radio Network. We're going to come back and talk more golf with Bill Harmon.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour featuring Bill Harmon on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com. Powered by Insperity. Insperity, inspiring small business performance. Once again with the Golf Doctor, here's your host, John Granato.
We are back in Houston, Texas, talking golf with Bill Harmon. Golf is about competition amongst yourself, trying to get better, competition in tournaments, trying to win the club championship. One way to compete is to sign up for this year's Puerto Vallarta Pro-Am in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. Four amateurs and one professional, PGA professional, playing golf on three different golf courses in beautiful weather, staying at the beautiful Casa Magna Marriott in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. Very safe, very, very nice, great hospitality, great value. Go online to PuertoVallartaProAm.com, get all the information, get your team together. You can have four guys. It can be a buddy trip. You can take two couples. However you want to do it, if you're just a single and you want to play, Billy and Jackie Sitton, who run the event, will fix you up. So put it on your calendar. It's the first week in December. Compete at a high level and have fun at the same time. So we're going to go back with Bill Harmon, and before we start talking more about practicing, I want to review the matches with Bill, and I'll give him the first pick. And then I'll pick, and we'll see who can come out the winner. The first match of the day, Bill, features your man, Bill Haas, and Chris Kirk. Who's going to win?
Well, I don't know if you know this, Charlie, but half the matches have started. So.
Well, that's okay.
I'm looking at some people who are two up already and stuff.
So. Well, that's okay. I'll give you that advantage.
Right. Well, I'm not going to pick Chris Kirk. I'm going to pick Bill.
Okay.
That I teach him.
All right. Next match is Rory and Zach Johnson, and I'm going to go for the upset. I'm going to pick Zach.
I can see that. He's been playing the best all week. He played well last week at Bay Hill. He's changed equipment. Rory seems to be a little bit off at the moment,
yep.
But these swingers like him can find something and turn it on pretty quickly. But I could see that happening. And I think Koepka is the dark horse in this whole tournament. I'm picking Brooks Koepka to win the whole event.
Well, I'm glad you did that, because I think Kuchar's going to win, because he's another guy that can play that golf course a little more efficiently. But that's why we bet.
Play the game.
The next match is Snedeker versus Jason Day. And Jason, once again, it looked like he pulled his back and was not going to be able to play, but he's bounced back very well. And although Snedeker is such a great putter, and great putters a lot of times can win matches, and an 18-hole match anybody can win, but I'm going to go with Jason Day in that one.
Yeah, I'm going to go with him, too. I think he's just a better player, to be honest with you, and he's playing good at the moment. So I think everything points toward Jason Day winning that match.
And then,
I'm going to take Cabrera Bello in the next match. Who are you taking, Charlie?
Well, I'm going to take Hun. I'm going to, I'm going to go against you. But Rafa has had a good year this year. He's been close, but he's never been able to seal the deal. He's never, had a big win, so we'll see how that transpires. The next match is Peyton Kizzire,
yeah,
and Ryan Moore, and I like how Ryan Moore beat Sergio Garcia. Did you happen to see that match?
I did, yes.
And he chips in from an impossible spot on 17, Sergio had a 5-foot putt to tie, but he couldn't get it in the hole, and then he wins 18. So I'm going to pick Ryan Moore, and you know Ryan is he's won the U.S. Amateur, and he's a good player at this golf course.
Yeah, I think Ryan Moore is kind of a sneaky good player anyway. The tournament that Schwartzel beat Bill Haas in the playoff, actually coming down the stretch, Ryan Moore played unbelievably well. Had he putted well, he'd have been in that playoff. So yeah. I think Ryan Moore is another sleeper here. Well, I'm going to pick Dustin Johnson over Patrick Reed.
Dustin Johnson over Patrick Reed. I like that. I like Patrick Reed. I like his spunk. I think he's got a great personality, and he's a little controversial, and he hasn't proven to be a top five player in the world yet, but he's finding that there's a lot of good guys out there. But he's a good player, and then the final match is a interesting pairing. Jordan Spieth against Louis Oosthuizen. And that to me is really, really good. But I just can't imagine Jordan losing in Austin where he went to college. But Louis is going to be hard to beat. So.
I'm going to pick Louis. From what I've been, I haven't seen a lot of it, but I listened to it on the radio yesterday. And the guy on the radio said Louis was really swinging well. And he's one of those guys, Charlie, when he gets it going good, he doesn't seem to get in his own ways. Another one of those free swingers. So I'm going to take a little bit of an upset here with Louis over Jordan Spieth, but probably a little bit of a reach.
Louis has a great golf swing, and he keeps the ball in play, but that putter can be a little balky. Jordan. So that's it right there, the Sweet 16 this afternoon.
So who are you going to pick to win the whole event? I'm picking Koepka.
You're picking Koepka. I'm gonna pick Patrick Reed.
All right, how about that?
You know, we got to go outside the box a little. We don't want we got to have new winners. It keeps everybody healthy and so on and so forth. So it will be fun. You know what I like to do is I like to record these matches, and then at off time, I don't like watching politics. I mean, it's so embarrassing on what's going on in our political arena. I can watch the matches in the evening. It's, you know, you can fast forward them, and it's fun to watch, and you can watch their swing. And Bill, you know, you're teaching more with video today. I would assume because you have your indoor facility and you're putting some great stuff up on Facebook, and I really enjoy that. And I think you're developing. You got a lot of great followers on Facebook. So if our audience, our listeners are looking at video swings, what should they look for? I know what I look for, but what should an amateur look for when they're watching their golf swing?
That's a very good question. I think that what I find a lot of, and I already knew this without the video, but the player can see it, and how that is how their grip and how their angles at address influence how they swing the golf club. And if they set up incorrectly, you know, the most common thing I see, Charlie, is people with weak grips. Right side, very high at address. Open shoulders, open hips. And right away, they're over the top. And there aren't that many amateur golfers that have the physical capabilities to fix that in their swing. Now, Bill Haas is a guy with a right side a little bit higher. Takes it outside, loops it back in on plane. His father, Jay, did it. But these guys are cats. But the amateur player, I think we see a lot of really poor grips, and that the poor grip influences the angles. And then I think if you can explain to the student, you know, exactly why that works, and then how it would encourage a better path and a better face angle if they grip the club better and they set up differently, they're able to grasp it by looking at it. I think we have a lot of people that are very visual learners. I'm a visual learner. I can look at something and say, okay, I can see where that's not good. I need to change that.
I noticed you made a comment on Facebook about Brandel Chamblee's book that's coming out. What do you think that's going to be like?
I think it's going to be great because I, before this book came out, that's the big change I've made is lifting up my left heel, turning my hips more, and I picked up 20 yards on my drive, so I'm liking it, baby.
20?
Yes, 20.
Now you're sneaky short. Well, that's...
That 865, that's a lot, pal.
That's Bill Harmon. We'll be right back for the last segment. Come on back when you get a chance, everybody.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, featuring Bill Harmon on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com. Powered by Insperity. Insperity, inspiring small business performance. Once again with the Golf Doctor, here's your host, John Granato.
I'm Charlie Epps, in for John Granato, who is having a nice weekend off with his lovely wife. I'm with Bill Harmon. We're talking golf. We've been talking about the match play, about the ladies, about, you know, golf in general and a little instruction. And we're going to talk a little about instruction right now, about practice thoughts. But this segment is brought to you by the Southern Texas PGA and its many golf professionals. He or she all over South Texas are teaching and promoting the game of golf. If you want to get into golf this spring, call your PGA professional and let him or her give you the right information on how to get you involved or keep you involved or help you with your golf game. They're fine men and women that are really dedicated to teaching. And one thing about teaching, and Billy says in his book, his pamphlet, progress comes through practice. And one of your points, Bill, and it's and they're very subtle, but they're so good. Is, don't stare at the horizon. What do you mean by that?
Well, I think that, to be honest with you, I think most people stare at the ball too much. I think it's been pretty much documented that if you visualize a shot, you know, a specific shot, your chances of producing it increase dramatically. So my dad used to tell us if you aim at nothing, you hit it every time, so the horizon would be kind of nothing. And, you know, it's one thing to swing freely on the range, which is fine, but it's not okay if you can't do that on the course. And so I find a lot of people practice just kind of haphazardly, and then when you get to the first hole, you know, there's a deep bunker on the right and water on the left, and they tighten up and they won't swing at it. But they really haven't practiced the way they're going to play. So I think you'd be better off practicing for 15, 20 minutes with specific shots or specific holes on your home course that you're not comfortable with. Trying to figure that out, try to hit a shot that will mirror the shot you have to hit on the course, rather than getting up and just aiming at the horizon and freewheeling and hoping that the earth falls underneath it.
I agree with you 100%. I've had the ultimate practice session this week with Ankel go out on the golf course. We're the only people out on the golf course. He hits three drives off of every tee, and then we walk up, and he doesn't hit second shots into the green, but he chips from at three different pin locations with three balls to get the feel for the greens and the undulation, and then we practice putting at four different locations, and we do that on every hole, and that's just the ultimate. But one thing I would you know, in today's golf in the evening is go out in the in, you know, at almost sunset and play a hole and practice it and hit your shots and get into your target. I always encourage my students three words: visualize what you're trying to do, feel what it is what you're trying to do, and then execute. And I think that is a good way to play golf, and that's what we've got to turn our instruction in, is to how to play golf. And the other thing that you you say here, you cannot feel the problem. Now, what do you mean by that?
Well, I think most people feel the result of the problem. You know, they'll say, well, I'm coming over it. And I'll say, well, how long have you been coming over it? And they say, for 20 years. So I say, well, if you know you're doing it, why are you doing it? Well, they don't know why they're doing it. And our job as instructors is to find out what is the thing that they're doing at address or their grip or their setup or their backswing that would not reward them for the right downswing. So I think most of us can feel the results of the problem, but they can't feel what's causing it. And if you don't know what's causing what you're doing, then it's pretty hard to improve and fix it. So I think our job as instructors is to diagnose. If you have a guy that you're teaching that's come over every shot for 20 years and he knows it and he's still coming over it, well, there has to be something in there that's making him do it. And our job as an instructor is to find out what that one thing is that hopefully will change 3, 4, 5 things rather than giving him 5 things to change one thing.
Well, I think your thought about the left heel coming off the ground, which, you know, is Brandel Chamblee is paying a lot of attention to. You know, you got to get off your left side to get to your right side to get back to your left side. So I like that concept of the left knee turning behind the golf ball, and the only way you really can do that and most people are not very supple, is to let the left heel come off the ground like what Jack Nicklaus did or what Tom Watson did. So
almost all the old greats did it, but almost none of them kept their left heel down. And I think what's interesting, Charlie, is we have so many young players that are so physically fit that always seem to be on the verge of an injury that's going to end their career. We'll put Jason Day in there right now.
Yeah.
And I think the jury is still out. I don't know if the physical fitness people know all there is to know about the golf swing. I think everything they do is relative to power, but is that good for the body? So we're looking for people with longevity, and it's possible that this swing where you turn the upper against the lower is not good on the back. And so I think the jury's still out on it. The great thing about golf, we're always learning about it. Teachers are always learning. Players are always learning. I think the physical fitness people are going to have to keep learning and to find out what's the best way to swing without injuring your body. We look at B.J. Singh. You know, he's a big hip turn, big left heel guy. Jay Haas has lasted a long time. He uses his legs and his feet quite a bit in the golf swing. So I think we're still learning, and it's stimulating to keep learning.
Well, Bill, it's been a great show again. I appreciate it. Have a good week. Say hello to your pretty wife. And this is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, the Southern Texas PGA, the Port of Atapuram. And, David, we thank you, and we'll see you all next week.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.